Welcome to the Flow Tracy Money Audio Commentary. This is Owen Tracy recording. It is 1:16 p.m. That is Pacific Summer Time. Today is October 28th. And I thought we'd kick off today with treasuries because they were unchanged. And the vast majority of stock market indices were down in a dynamic manner. The dollar also rallied, although the dollar's rally was not especially impressive compared to the size of the decline that we saw on the wider market. So 10-year treasuries have been ranging below 140 now since March. So there was a significant spike higher and a demand for a safe haven in February and March for obvious reasons, because we'd had this very abrupt pullback on the stock market. But demand has held up but not exceeded the demand levels in March. And one would have to question, why is that? When we think about what's likely to occur, well, it's a big argument for investors about whether we're going to have inflation. It's certainly been a topic of consideration because of the relative strength of gold, but a much bigger question, and it really just does come down to a supply and demand argument, because the quantity of bonds that are going to be issued in 2021 is significantly above what was issued in 2020. And it's going to be the same thing for 2022. By the time we get to the end of the year in 2020, approximately 1.7 trillion will have been issued in bonds. But in 2021, it could be anything up to 2.25 or even 2.8 trillion in bonds. Well, when you're printing that additional quantity, and it's almost a trillion more than was printed this year, well, it's hard to imagine why anyone would want to continue to pay up when supply is increasing so much. But of course, that does raise some important problems, particularly from a risk parity strategy. When risk parity strategies were first conceived, there was a well understood inverse correlation between bonds and equities. When equities pulled back in a sharp manner, bonds usually rallied in a sharp manner. And by matching volatilities, then one could balance out the risk profile from an equity portfolio by hedging it with bonds. But when they don't move in an inverse manner, then that program trading manner of managing a portfolio stops working. And when it stops working, they have to reduce the size of their positions. It's also true that when the VIX index pops on the upside, and the most important point today is that it closed on the high of the day. So on previous occasions when we've had strength in the VIX index, it hasn't been able to hold on to all of the advance. And the day after, then we saw volatility coming straight back down again. We saw that in June, and we saw it in September. We also saw it right at the peak in March, where we had a big upper dynamic that closed close to the top of the range, but then the second day, it didn't quite sustain the move to new high ground, and it started coming down again just a few days later. Therefore, if the stock market is having nothing more than a very short-term bout of stress, particularly because we are so close to the US presidential election, and also because there is some questions about the near-term availability of additional liquidity measures, well, the big signal that this is simply short-term in nature would be if volatility starts to come straight back down again tomorrow. Then when we think about some of the stock market indices that have been in just on the cusp of doing better, well, the Russell 2000 is certainly one of those. Now, there is still a sequence, a medium-term sequence of lower rally highs. The peak was in 2018. There was a lower high at the beginning of this year, and this is potentially another lower rally high. If this is still a recovery scenario, then the region of the trend mean around 1400 will hold, and ideally it should rebound within the next day or two. The transportation average had popped on the upside to new all-time highs just 2 weeks ago, but then it came down in a very dynamic manner this week. And if a failed upside break is to be avoided, well, then it's going to have to rebound quickly, as in certainly hold the region of this 11,000 level. If it pulls back to the 10,000 level, then arguably then this is still a recovery scenario. But if it starts pulling back below that level, well, then we are no longer talking about the potential for recovery, but more like an expanded top formation and potentially top formation completion. So what happens in the next couple of days is going to be instructive from the perspective of small caps and for the transportation index. Now, the NASDAQ 100 has still got ample room in which to consolidate. It has certainly paused around the 12,000 level, and it paused at 8,000, it paused at 10,000, and it's pausing at 12,000, so this is still reasonably consistent. And provided it holds the region of 10,000, then it will remain consistent. Now, we had the big pullback in 2018, and we had another big pullback in 2020, and both of those had pulled back into the underlying range. In the 2018 example, it was the range at the beginning of that year. So we can also think about the longer term trend that each of the bigger ranges was one above another, although it has on occasion dipped into the underlying ranges. This has been one of the hallmarks of the NASDAQ's trend, but the other point is that it has certainly accelerated. The pace of the advance has picked up beyond a shadow of a doubt this year. And usually, as a trend progresses, it becomes more consistent because the imbalance of supply and demand becomes progressively wider. And then the question is, why isn't that happening on this occasion? We've obviously had some exogenous factors like the coronavirus and then the massive monetary and fiscal stimulus in response to it. But then the question that needs to be answered is this similar to the Y2K phenomenon, where purchases have been front-loaded into 2020, and we have to at least consider that growth in 2021 and 2022 is going to be less impressive. And therefore, are the valuations on some of these companies that have done spectacularly well in 2020 really justifiable? When we think about companies like Microsoft, it announced its earnings yesterday, and it's its 13th quarter in a row of 10% sales growth. And that's really very impressive. And it also helps to highlight just how impressive the advance has been over the course of the last 4 years. It did also pull back violently in the early part of this year, but rebounded very impressively from the region of the trend mean. This trend looks much more consistent than what we've had on the NASDAQ. And it was also in negative territory in here today. Ideally, it will have to find support in the region of the trend mean, because that's exactly what it's done on every other occasion. We don't have quite the same kind of consistency on a share like Apple. And there is also, I think, a rather interesting phenomenon on the long-term weekly chart, particularly on a logarithmic scale, because then we can see the ranges that are one above another. We can also see that it has held support in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. Unfortunately, the 1,000-day moving average is 50% below where prices are prevailing right now. And the low in March was in the region of the previous peak. And that was also the case in 2019. And the lows in 2016 were in the region of the peak from back in 2012. This is the definition of a staircase sequence uptrend. Again, there is absolutely no questioning that the pace of the advance has picked up in a very considerable manner over the course of the last 18 months. So now the big question is whether the $80 level will hold, and that should represent the next area of potential support. The challenge, of course, is that on each of the other occasions when, or at least until 2018, on each of the other occasions when Apple found support in the region of its previous peak, it was also in the region of the 1,000-day moving average. So the acceleration that we had and off the lows from March, then that does beg the question, which level is now more relevant? And of course, with acceleration's a trend ending. It doesn't tell us whether it is an ending or the ending, but there are certainly inconsistencies that have crept into the share price because of the phenomenal performance that it's put in over the last year. Therefore, risk has increased. And this risk profile in the stock market is, I think, one of the reasons why we're getting some weakness coming through right now. The reality is that there are a lot of uncertainties about the health of the global economy. And the liquidity response by central banks and governments all over the world has papered over a lot of cracks. But what we've also seen is that while governments seem to be willing to start to move back into lockdown phases and to tighten up regulation and enforce social distancing, they have been much less willing to provide assistance measures. And it's the assistance measures have helped to boost liquidity. It's helped to sustain consumer demand and therefore earnings. Well, obviously, the question then is, how long is it going to take liquidity to come back in? Well, we've definitely seen that with the bond markets, the reason that we haven't had a meaningful rally is because bond investors expect there to be a big spending spree by government and massive issuance of debt in 21 and 2022. Part of the reason why the dollar wasn't able to hold all of its advance in here today and wasn't up in an especially dynamic manner either. In fact, if we just look at the pop on the upside in late September, it was considerably larger than the move that we had today. Well, investors know that in the event that we do get any significant stock market weakness, that the central bank will and become much more activist, that politicians will react to the significant declines in stock markets, and then they will pass an additional fiscal bill. Well, obviously, then that will copper fasten the conviction of investors that we have got a Powell put, a Trump put, a Biden put, a Pelosi put. It doesn't matter whose name you attach to it, but rather that central banks and governments are going to be willing to do anything to support the asset price inflation. That has been the primary feature of the markets now for more than 12 years. Then when we look at Europe, well, because Europe is much more active in terms of social or enforcing social distancing and less willing to supply the massive liquidity in order to offset the economic drag that represents, well, the majority of indices have pulled back from the region of the trend mean, having really rebounded quite impressively. They're now encountering resistance in the region of the overhead trading range, considering that the Eurostox index had got all the way back up to test the 400-point level. And peaks in 2000 and in 2007 were below 450. Well, it got as high as 425. It had been ranging mostly above 350 for the previous 2 years, and now it is encountering resistance in that level and breaking downwards. This does not look like a bullish chart, and we would need to see a clear and substantial upper dynamic in order to check potential for additional downside. The MIB index in Italy is leading on the downside, not least because of the stringency of the lockdown measures that are being reintroduced, so it's also pulling back from the region of its trend mean. And then the DAX index in Germany has broken down back below the trend mean. It was one of the best performing indexes in the region, but has not been able to sustain the move upwards and is now experiencing additional downward pressure. There are significant companies like Bayer that are making new lows, and this has been a really quite incredible demise. They still have not succeeded in putting the cost of containing the litigation against Monsanto behind them. Once that is in fact achieved, there is a clear runway for the company to prosper, but we're just not there yet. But what I found interesting today was that against a background where we had a lot of weakness, GE came through with a profit. And the reality is that it has rebounded in a pretty dynamic manner over the course of the last while. It wasn't able to hold on to its gain in here today, but still up in a reasonably significant percentage move. One of the big differentiators between these industrial companies that have had these really spectacular declines over the course of the last decade is that most of their rationalization is behind them. Whereas for a significant number of other companies where they're experiencing this loss of consistency and now dynamic moves and stabs on the downside from the region of previous peaks. And when we look at, for example, at Ecolab, it had the failed upside break back in June. We've had some big stabs on the downside over the course of the last couple of months. And now it's back on the lows again. So now the question is, well, we've had a spectacular advance since 2011. It's up 400%. Now the question is, how much of that can be sustained? And that's equally true of a number of other big industrial companies. And then there's also been a significant loss of upward consistency among the defense contractors. And there is obviously the question about the willingness of new U.S. administrations to continue to plow money into their armed forces. And that is weighing on some of the big drone manufacturers, or the big tank manufacturers like General Dynamics has been trending downwards now for nearly three full years and was at a new reaction low in here today. So we're definitely at a transition period. There are obviously shares that have gone through their rationalizations that have the potential for re-rating if they can continue to do better. But there are lots of other companies that have yet to do their re-ratings or their rationalizations, and they are still susceptible to additional declines. And of course, the technology sector, there hasn't been any rationalization there at all. And there has been no downward pressure and no pressure on them to contain costs. Well, that's no problem as long as they can continue to grow. But that growth is predicated on continued availability of liquidity. So it's likely that we're going to see additional downward pressure until new liquidity measures are in fact introduced. Gold prices were down about $30 in here today and back in the region of the lows for the last month. Now, I've been saying for a while that the risk is that we may see a more swift process of mean reversion, because we've seen that kind of action before. There have been plenty of occasions where gold has surged on the upside and then spends three quarters of its time going sideways and then completes the reversion to the mean in a swift manner. And I think that that remains a risk. Although it is still right in the region of the lows, it may still rebound. But we can generally give the benefit of the doubt to the most recent dynamic. Silver was down in excess of a dollar in here today, and also coming back down, it has now broken its sequence of, or at least its short-term sequence of higher reaction lows, and demonstrated resistance in the region of the psychological $25 area. So it is for the bulls to prove, and we may yet see additional pullback, or at least a swifter process of mean reversion. Bitcoin was also in negative territory today, but not, again, in an especially dynamic manner. It was up $700 yesterday, down about $400 in here today. So far, it is holding the break above the 12,000 level. Then, when we think about other safe havens, like the yen, well, we didn't have a very large move in the dollar, and we didn't have a very large move in the yen either. We have had a pullback in gold and in Bitcoin, but the reality for most investors is they just don't believe that governments are going to sit idly by and allow this weakness to spread. They continue to believe, and I think with good cause, that there will be additional liquidity infusions, regardless of what that means to deficits and the pressure to repay debts or restructure economies later. And until that happens, we're likely to continue to see weakness in markets, but liquidity tends to be the kind of flood that floats all boats. So that's part of the reason why we haven't had a big move upwards in safe havens, because it's the supply of those safe havens are likely to be the thing that helps to support prices in just about everything else. And then oil prices have also been rather volatile in here today, and back below the $40 area in a pretty dynamic manner, but it's still in the region of the lows over the last month. So we're at a point right now which is a decision period. Either we're going to see a rebound tomorrow and volatility starting to come back down again, or we're going to see volatility continue to rise until we see substantive action to try and arrest its advance. And we'll probably have decisions on those fronts probably before the end of the week. And I think with that, I will leave you for today and wish all the best to all of you.